Welcome to the Hyphen Church Podcast, where faith meets the spaces in between. We're here to explore what it means to belong, to grow, and to encounter God in the midst of life's questions and complexities. Whether you're here to listen, reflect, or take a step forward, know that you're in the right place. Let's make space together for what God is doing in us and through us. Now, let's dive into today's message.
This is our third week in this Open Table series, and what we are wanting to do is just live in the way of welcome, just helping people understand what does it mean to be a hospitable person? What does it mean to be a church that's welcoming? What does it mean to be people that are welcoming? How do we open our houses? How do we open our hearts and our hands to all of these things that we're looking for? And an open table is the way that we do it. And so as we are working through some of these sections in Luke, we're looking at Jesus sort of defining what hospitality and welcome look like. We're looking at what Jesus has decided the new order of things should be in this upside down kingdom that he has. And so the very first week we talked about the Good Samaritan and the idea that maybe our help is going to come from a place that we don't expect it. And last week when we were out at the park, we talked about Mary and Martha and how really hospitality is all about our presence with one another and how we can invite people into that. And we gave a really good sort of vision initiative that the church is going to do over the next year, which is called 100, One on One. And what we want to do is over the next year or so, we want to meet one-on-one 100 times in the church. Miranda and I, between the two of us, we've done two this week. So only 98 more to go for the entire church. And so this is the idea that you can go with someone that you don't normally go with, that you can go out to coffee or lunch or something like that. Find an excuse to get together, make it intentional, and then be present with one another. That's what the understanding of hospitality is, especially with Mary and Martha. The better portion of that is sitting there in the presence of one another and understanding that. Now, this morning we have a really sort of very precise, very intentional parable that Jesus is going to tell about a banquet. And it's very interesting. We're in this open table, and we're going to be talking about this as well. So if you want to, you can find the place that we're going to be in Luke chapter 14, and we're going to be reading verses 7 through 14. It says this, "When he noticed how the guests picked the place of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this person your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all of the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or sisters or relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Taking the lowest place available. The average price for a wedding nowadays is $40,000. And so when couples are planning their weddings, it's really important that they, you know, it's bigger and better than someone else, and they go into a lot of debt right before they get married. That's always a good thing for the marriage to sustain. But one of the things that's really popular now for weddings is a seating chart. And that hours and hours can go by in your life where you're crafting the perfect seating chart, where, you know, Uncle Henry can't sit next to Uncle Larry because those two bicker back and forth about politics, and we don't want the day ruined with that. And, you know, there has to be a good distribution of people. And what about the friends from work that don't know other people? So hours and hours can go by where we're just anxiously checking and making this seating chart. And everyone wants to know, though, when they get there, where do I sit? What table did I get? Did I get table number one? Well, no, probably I didn't get table one because I'm not in the bride's family. I'm not part of the wedding party. But hopefully I didn't get table 25, which is back in the corner by the kitchen. So we want to know who am I sitting here? Am I an important person? Am I with the rest of the family? Did I make the cut? Am I going to sit next to someone that I regret? Right, what if I don't know people at the table? The truth is, we all kind of carry these invisible seating charts in our minds. We rank ourselves with others. We do it at work. We do it in church. We do it online. We do it in our friendships. Where am I sitting? Who am I sitting next to? Do I know this person? I can't sit over here next to them because I don't really know them very well. I will just sit in my regular assigned seat. In our culture, we try and climb, we try and perform, we try and position ourselves in the best way. Well, I can't really see the screen here, or you know, they kind of make a lot of noise when they worship, and I don't want to be associated with that. We bring that mindset into our spiritual lives, always trying to earn the higher seat at God's table. Remember some of those questions that the disciples asked. Lord, when we go to heaven, when we're in God's presence, can we be seated at your right hand? And John always referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved most. I mean, this was the rank. This is, where do I stand, Jesus? Where am I in this process? Do you love me more than you love somebody else? So let's talk a little bit about the context of where he is. Because what if we've missed the whole idea of the banquet? What if we've missed the whole idea and the purpose of gathering? What if we've missed the idea of who is invited and that it's not about the ranking system at all? But Jesus has been invited to, believe it or not, a Pharisee's house. He's there, he's accepted the invitation, he's gone to the Pharisee's house, and he's watching everyone. But one of the more important things that wasn't said was in verse 1. It says, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being watched carefully. You see, this is not a casual gathering. This is not a public social gathering. This is a purpose-filled gathering. This is an event with the religious and the social elite. And Jesus is here because he's part of that group. The Pharisees are saying, yes, we want you to look at the life you could live among the religious elite, among the people who really care, who really matter. If you want to make a lot of money and network with a lot of people, you should come to this very important banquet. Banquets in the first century were used to reinforce these social hierarchies that where you sat revealed your importance. So if you were closer to the head of the table, if you were closer to the head, the host of the party, then you have arrived. You were the one who was going to be so good and so important. And everyone would turn and look at the host, and at the same time, everyone would turn and look at you because you were there and you were powerful. In fact, the Greek word for carefully watched there suggests that they were waiting for an opportunity for him to mess up. He was being very closely watched. All of his movements were very carefully orchestrated. And so you've done this before, and you've invited someone to your house, and how are they going to behave around our friends? How are they going to behave around the people that they don't know? How are they going to behave when they're in line for food? And so everyone's watching Jesus very carefully. What's he going to do next? Is he going to heal a sinner on the Sabbath? We're just waiting for him to disobey the rules so that we can nab him once again. People just didn't show up and sit anywhere. Seating was based on your social standing and your wealth and your proximity to the host and your prestige. And so honor and shame, and we've heard this before, honor and shame were everything in this culture. And so Jesus is being watched, but notice in verse 7, he's watching everyone else. He's being watched, he's watching everyone else, and he's watching to see how people are maneuvering. He's watching to see how people are lining up next to the table, how close they're trying to sit at the host's right and left side. When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable, verse 7. And so Jesus sees right through this scrambling. He sees all of the disciples moving around, and he knows exactly what they're trying to do. So he's basically like, all right, everyone, let's stop here for a second. Let me tell you a little story about what you're doing right here. And so the parable isn't just following etiquette advice. This is not like a Miss Manners opportunity here where he's saying like, oh, you know what? You shouldn't sit there because it's impolite to do that. He's actually really just giving a critique of the whole system that runs on self-promotion. He's stopping the whole thing and saying, you know what? The system is broken. Let's talk about what that system looks like. And let's talk about why you, in fact, as followers of me, think that it's right for you to go through that whole system of self-promotion. There's this kind of seating chart of the soul, right? There's this seating chart that we walk through and hold in our heads. When you are invited, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited. Well, that's impossible, right? How could someone more distinguished than me arrive at the party? I am the distinguished guest. I am the one of most importance. I am the one who, when I arrive, the party has begun. So how can anyone else who's better than me show up? It's just an impossible situation, right? And Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. There's always going to be someone better than you. And that person that's better than you is going to have someone who's better than them and better than them. And so we don't need to start this whole game because actually it's really kind of humiliating when you take that position of honor and you think you're the distinguished guest and then the host has to come to you and say, I'm so sorry, but there's someone more important that's here. And now we've just been humiliated. In this culture, the host is going to rearrange guests in the mid-meal to reflect their actual rank. And people could arrive late because if you were a person of wealth, that's what you do. You arrive late, fashionably late. That's where that comes from in the Bible. That's a biblical principle. Now, if you assumed a place too high, you could be asked in front of everyone, I'm sorry, you need to move down. And so Jesus' point isn't about where to sit at dinner. He's exposing this inner need to be seen and to be honored and to be elevated above everyone else. He's revealing this dangerous spiritual game of self-exaltation, where, you know what, I'm better, I'm more humble than anyone else, and I'm so proud of it as well. I'm so spiritual. I'm more spiritual than anyone else. I really hope that they ask me to pray for the meal because everyone could hear how spiritual I am, how good my speaking is, and how good my prayers are. And he tells people, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humbled themselves will be exalted. So if you think that sitting at the table is going to exalt you, you're wrong. It's going to get you humiliation, actually. And if you go in humble and sit in the lowest place, if you take the lowest place, the lowest seat away from the host, maybe even you're sitting at the kids' table. I don't know what that might look like for you. But you know what? You're not in a place where someone's going to have to come to you later and say, oh, I'm sorry, you were trying to show off, but you don't belong here. It's better to be called from the kids' table to the adult table and say, oh, no, no, you do belong here. You can come and join this group. We'd love to have you here in this. That's kingdom reversal. That's what Jesus is constantly teaching. The first become last, the last become first. And in the kingdom, in God's kingdom, elevation is God's job and humility is our job. So we're going to allow God to elevate those people that need to be elevated or should be elevated. And then he says it's not who you think it is. This parable is about what kind of people God honors, not those who assume greatness, but those who trust the host to give them a seat at the table, to call them forward, to say, you know what, I'm just so honored to be here. I'm just glad to be a part of this great kingdom that God has called us to. And so Jesus then challenges the host in verses 12 through 14. He challenges the host to really invite the unlikely, the people that you're not expecting to be here, the ones you would not have invited in the first place. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Wait, what? I thought that was the whole point of this, was that we're to have an open table, we're to welcome all people in. Yeah, it's true. We do want to welcome all people in. But Jesus is saying we want to look at our hearts. We want to make sure that the people that we're inviting in, we're not inviting them in because we feel like they can pay us back. We're not inviting them in because they've got a really nice event next summer that we want to be invited to. We're not inviting them in because they've got a really nice house and they always have really great food and it's a catered affair. And you know what? It would be really nice to be invited to that as well. So reciprocal, I'm going to invite them in hopes that they invite me in as well. Again, that's a heart issue. That's an issue with our hearts where we start to say, oh, you know what? I'm going to invite people who can't pay me back. I'm going to invite people who cannot repay me. I'm going to invite people who cannot have a party on their own. This is how ancient social life worked. Invitations were transactional. I invite you now, you invite me later. I host a banquet and your presence enhances my honor. The guest list was very important to say, you know what, we're working through this and because of your presence here, I am more honored. It's a better party now. And you return the favor and the whole cycle continues. And look at who gets left out. Once again, the people on the margins. Well, I was doing what I was told. My pastor said to invite people in, to have an open table. I'm just doing the biblical responsibility as a church member. But again, the margins are left out. The people that cannot repay us, the people who are not going to host parties, they're not in the conversation. And so Jesus breaks that cycle entirely. He says, don't invite people who can pay you back. Invite those who can't. Invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. Each group listed was considered ritually or socially less than in the first century world. They were people that were always excluded from honor and often from the table altogether. Look at the people whose house Jesus invited himself to. We're going to talk about the tax collector Zacchaeus in a few weeks. This is someone who was not invited to parties. This is someone who was on the outside of the Jewish social circle because he was considered very evil. And Jesus says, no, we're going to go to Zacchaeus' house and we're going to see him. Jesus is redefining hospitality, not as mutual benefit, but as a merciful welcome. How can we welcome people in with mercy and grace? How can we be the type of people who say, you know what? We're going to break the cycle and we're going to give to people that cannot give back. It's not about what you gain. It's about what you can give. You will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. In other words, if you want to be part of God's kingdom feast, you need to start acting like Jesus. You need to start acting like the king whose feasts you're going to. God invites the undeserving. God welcomes the outcast. God honors the humble. And so by extending hospitality to those who can't return it, you're reflecting the very heart of God because that's how God welcomed you. Oh, and we don't like to talk about that, right? We like to think that our presence in the kingdom makes the kingdom so much more valuable. I'm here because I have so many things to give to the kingdom. I'm here because I'm just so worthy. I'm so worthwhile in my pursuit of God. But really, that's what God has done for us. He's welcomed us in because we are undeserving. We are the outcasts. We are the ones who have problems with pride. And he says, come on into the banquet. I've opened my table for even someone, even someone like you. Jesus is saying to the guests and to the hosts, your seating strategy and your guest list are revealing your heart. Who you want to sit with, who you want to invite, who you want to spend your time with reveals your heart and your kingdom work. So this isn't just a critique of party culture. It's a revelation of how God's kingdom works. And so the truth of this matter is that the way up is down, to move farther away, to open up a table and then invite people who do not belong there. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is a subversion of the honor system. And so in Jesus' world, honor and shame were everything. Where you sat wasn't about comfort. Who you invited reflected your standing. And so when Jesus tells both the guest and the host to flip that script, he's not just challenging behavior, he's dismantling an entire value system. He's telling people to open your heart and look at the people that you value. He's looking at us to say, what sort of people do you value? Do you value people that can only repay you? Do you value people who are rich? Do you value people who are only going to give you honor? Or do you value people who don't deserve anything? Do you value people who aren't called worthy in society? Because who you value reveals your heart. It reveals who Jesus wants you to call. The kingdom of God does not operate on reciprocity, competition, or pride. It runs on grace and humility and divine reversal. In God's kingdom, you don't climb your way in. You're called to the table. You don't earn your place. You're invited into that. You don't secure status by who you know. You honor God by who you welcome. This is why Jesus finishes with, you will be blessed. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. That's a future hope only those with faith in God's justice would really understand. And so when we fast forward to today, this hits just as hard. We may not have formal banquets with honor seats, but we live in a status-driven world. Our lives are filled with seating charts we've internalized, social media followers, job titles, ministry recognition, friends circles, who we platform or who we pay attention to, who we give our attention to. We rank people based on appearance and influence and usefulness, even in the church. And I've said time and time again that we don't want you to come to church because you're useful to us. We want you to come to church because we value you. You've been invited to the table, and we want you to be here for that. We build our guest lists accordingly. People who make us feel good, people we're comfortable around, people who can help us succeed, people who will return the favor. But you know what Jesus says? The people you ignore might be closest to the kingdom. And the ones you try to impress might be the least in it. In God's kingdom, greatness is defined not by what you accomplish, but how you lower yourself. Not who you impress, but who you bless. Greatness is not defined by where you sit, but whom you serve. And so we really look for, in the kingdom, we know that God exalts the humble. True exaltation isn't self-made, it's God-given. And so when you stop striving for status, you make room for grace. Hospitality is a window into the kingdom. Your table is going to reflect your theology. Who you welcome reveals what kind of kingdom you're rehearsing. And humility is an act of faith. Taking the lower place isn't weakness, it's trust. You're saying, I don't need to be seen or elevated because God sees me and will lift me when it's right. And so ultimately, God doesn't just teach this, he lives it. He took the lowest place. He was born in a manger. He was eating with sinners. He was washing feet. That's the host's job, by the way, to wash feet. And Jesus shows up and doesn't want to humiliate the host, so he washes those feet of those people for the host. And he humbles himself on the cross. What is taking the lower place but going to the cross like Jesus did? God exalts him through that. He gave him a name above every other name. And so in Christ, we see the pattern of the kingdom. The way up is always to go down. The way up, the way to being exalted, the way to having a place at the table is moving down, taking that lesser, that lower place, and moving farther away from trying to fight for the head of the table. We don't have to fight for a seat at the table. We just follow the one who gave up his seat to welcome us. So what's this mean for us? How can we apply this to our lives? What can we do? How can we take some practical steps of the posture of humility and kingdom hospitality? Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to stop comparing and we need to start serving. We need to lay down our seating chart. We need to stop measuring our value against other people's value. We need to start asking, how can I serve here rather than how can I be seen here? Simon Sinek, who wrote a great book called Start With Why, he's one of those leadership guys who's kind of always, he's got a podcast, he's kind of always pushing people to think of themselves as servant leaders. He says whenever he starts a project, whenever he walks into a room, whenever he's about to speak to someone, whether he's going to give a speech, whether he's going to give a talk, whether he's going to have a one-on-one, the first thing that he says to himself is, I'm here to give. He also wrote a book called Leaders Eat Last. And so these are the ideas that he's putting himself at the table, but he's eating last. And he's thinking to himself and all these things, I'm here to give. I'm not here to be seen. I'm not here to show people what I know. I'm not here to do any of those things that will get me in trouble. I'm here solely to give of myself. And so when we take a posture of humility, when we start to serve and have that mindset of I'm here to give, then all of a sudden the room changes. All of a sudden our posture changes in the room. That nothing really is a bother anymore because I'm here to give. I'm here to help people. I'm here to open up my table and give to others rather than waiting to be served and waiting to eat that lunch. And so the second thing that I think we can do is we need to trust the host. Humility doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means you trust God to lift you up at the right time. That we know that we have working to be humble, and we can't be proud of our humility, and we can't get eager in our humility. We can't be anxious and say, well, you know what? I've been so humble for so long. It's about time God lifts me up. No, we don't act humble because we expect something to happen from it. We don't act humble because all of a sudden we've started to want to receive more things because of that. The reality is we want to be humble because that's a posture we take in our lives. That's a posture we want to have and hold through our lives because that's who Jesus has called us to be. Humble people. That's just this posture we want to take. So we trust God to lift us up at the right time, not because we expect God to do that, but because he knows our name and he sees our worth, and we will let him choose our seat for us. We don't get to choose that seat. And number three, I think we need to change our guest list. Who are you inviting to the literal and figurative table? This week, when we want to practice kingdom hospitality, invite someone in that has no social capital. Have a conversation with someone who can't pay you back. Bless someone who can't repay you. Make room for someone who's usually invisible. Find a way to open that table and change your guest list. Because what Jesus is saying is you need to find another group of people. You need to find a group of people who cannot pay you back. You need to find a group of people who keep you and make you humble. You need to find a group of people who are outside the circle, who are on the margins, who are waiting for you to come and lift them up, not because you are powerful, not because you have it all together, but because you are humble and you want to show them worth and value. One day there's going to be a great banquet. There's going to be a marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And all the seats of that table are going to be filled with people who never expected to be there. Sinners, the poor, the outsiders, the overlooked. And Jesus isn't just calling us to humility for humility's sake. He's inviting us to live now as though the kingdom is already here. God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bringing the kingdom here means we're opening our doors and our tables and our lives to the people on the margins, to the people on the outside, the sinners and the poor. Because in a world that says, exalt yourself, Jesus says, take the lowest place and let me lift you up.